This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York City on CBS Sports Radio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Doing more is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. William Nylander of the Maple Leafs. How about this guy? First two goals as well as an assist to help the Leafs beat the Lightning 4-3 in Toronto tonight at the ACC for the Leafs. Fifth, I believe, in a row. And I think that's, what, 8 of 9? It's crazy. 9 and 11? It just keeps getting bigger, the stats here. Nylander going off tonight with Austin Matthews for the Leafs, doing more for his team. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything you need to do, project smarter, The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. I saw our boy, Jerry Palm, on the Big Boy Network on Saturday with the heavies. I saw him in the halftime in the studio show. Just styling, doing bracketology work on the weekends here in the Big Apple. Jerry, rocking it. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I saw you on there, Jerry. You were looking good.
Thanks. It's not easy boxing out Clark Kellogg.
Right? I mean, come on. That guy knows how to take control of the low blocks.
Yep. Yep. I'm not that big.
So how much fun is that for you to do that? That's got to be great.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's a blast. I love doing television. I do mostly stuff for Sports Network, CBS Sports Network. And the last 2 weeks of the regular season, I'll be in there. But the last 2 years, I've been part of that committee reveal show, and that's a lot of fun.
Where do you normally live again? Do you live in Indiana?
I live in, yes, Northwest Indiana, suburban Chicago, up in the region.
Okay, so like where I grew up, Valparaiso.
Yeah, actually, closer to Illinois. I'm in Schererville.
Oh, all right. I know where that is. So that's great. So what do you fly into New York and then you stay in New York City and do the show? What do you stay for the whole weekend in New York?
Right. Ended up having to go out because of the bad weather out here. I was supposed to go Saturday morning, but ended up going Friday. Had to drive down to Indianapolis to be able to get out of here.
So, wow. So about New York, a little bit more exciting than the mall in Merrillville.
Yeah, but, I'm a Chicago guy, so yeah, right. Chicago's got its own excitement.
All right, slow down. You're still an hour from Chicago. And I noticed that you're still giving your Boilermakers all kinds of love, and I understand that the disease you have. I have it too, the Hoosiers. But what did you think of the game in East Lansing with them?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch very much of it because I was working on Saturday in the studio, so I didn't get to see a lot of it. I saw the end, and you know, Bridges just hits a great shot because he's a great player. So you know, that was just two really good teams going at it, and the home team won. Really, no big surprise. The loss that eats at you if you're a Purdue fan is Ohio State because that was at home.
So you wrote about Michigan State, and you said when the committee looks at them, here's what they're going to see: quality wins against North Carolina and at home against Purdue, losses to Duke on neutral, at Ohio State, and at home to Michigan. And then you talk about the quadrants. This is a new phrase that you guys have come up with this year that I've never seen before, the quadrants. Right. It sounds like a fire drill.
It does kind of. Well, the NCAA, of course, came up with it. They've always had them. They've just never referred to it that way because, I mean, they basically, on their team sheet, they've got, you know, games in four buckets, basically, in, you know, order of quality. And it used to be that the top bucket was just 1 to 50 RPI. If you played anybody 1 to 50 RPI, they'd win the top bucket. Now, the top bucket, there's a home and road waiting to it. So now it's 1 to 30 RPI if you play them at home, 1 to 50 if it's neutral, and 1-75 if it's on the road is goes into that top bucket, which they're calling quadrant one now because it's too much of a mouthful to give you the three RPI numbers for each thing. So it's quadrant one, quadrant two, quadrant three, quadrant four, and they all have that home road aspect to it. But it's not really being used any differently. It's just that the games that go in each bucket are now have been redefined. And it makes sense because they were kind of doing that in their heads anyway when they were looking at these games. Because it's not as simple as just putting teams in a bucket. You know, not all top quadrant wins are the same or games are the same. So, you know, they look at it in great detail. But still, in terms of trying to aggregate things together, they were trying to get a better picture of what they were already kind of doing in their heads.
So let me get this straight. You have Purdue 1 in the West, and you have Michigan State 3. Explain that to me.
Sure. Well, that's actually really easy to explain. That's I took my bracket from basically Saturday and the committee's top 16 from Sunday because I'm trying to predict what they're going to do. Well, they told me what they're going to do. Right, based on through Saturday's game. So I took that and added mine to the end of it. And so Purdue's the number one seed in my bracket because the committee just told me they'd make them a number one seed if the selections were yesterday.
Oh, I see. So when they came out with their 16, that's what you did it based off of.
Right, and obviously I had my own prediction of what they would do, and I actually thought they'd put Michigan State ahead of Purdue, even though, and I wrote this, Saturday morning, or the late Saturday night, actually, for Sunday morning, before the committee announced their 16, that I still thought Purdue had the best resume for a one seed of the potential teams that could get that spot, but I thought they'd give it to Michigan State anyway because of the two higher quality wins, North Carolina and Purdue. I thought that they would give it to them, but they didn't, and not only did they not give it to them, they made them a three, which I think surprised a lot of people, but I kind of understand it because they just haven't played the kind of schedule we're used to seeing Michigan State play. I mean, they usually have one of the better non-conference schedules, and while they played Carolina and Duke, the overall schedule wasn't that good. And then the league hasn't been very good, so they're not getting the kind of quality opponents they normally get in the league. And then the league schedule for Michigan State, they had one place with Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan. So they didn't even get to play the better teams in the league twice. So the schedule has really not been good for Michigan State, and it's been really hard for them to build up the kind of quality opponents and quality wins that almost everybody else in that top 16 has.
So, and let me get this straight. So the 16 that the NCAA came out with, the top four seeds in each region, they don't even have, like, so yours is different completely, obviously, because you have, you had Purdue correctly, obviously in the West, like you did it, but they have, they have Michigan State and Cincinnati in the South, whereas you had them in the West. Where will they end up?
Who?
Where will Michigan State and Cincinnati end up, just like the NCAA had it in the South in Atlanta?
Well, we'll see what happens in a month. But if the tournament started today, then that's the way it would have been. They'd have been in the South, yeah.
All right, so...
And Purdue would have been out West as the fourth number one, whoever the fourth number one is this year, because there's no Western team that's going to be a one seed. The fourth number one is going to be placed in the West out of its natural region because you can't put all four of those teams in the same place.
Do you have a problem with Purdue having to go out West and Xavier getting to stay in the Midwest?
Well, if Xavier's rated higher by the committee, then no. And I think that would be correct as of today. We'll see what happens, you know, a month from now.
Wow. Let me ask you this question. Do you think Jerry Palm with us, the great bracketologist and a leader of men, you can see him on CBS Sports Network and on CBS, the big network, on your weekends talking about the tournament brackets as we get closer, a month away from today's Selection Sunday or yesterday. So do you think that Tom Izzo looks like he's about ready to jump off a bridge? I mean, that guy looks so beat up and stressed out. Like, he looks like, I mean, he really does look like hell. This whole thing has taken a toll on that guy. Is that obvious to you?
Yes. It's
no joke.
It's a difficult situation for him because he's been advised not to say anything, and I think he really wants to talk. And he's following his lawyer's advice and not talking. So, but I think that part is killing him. I think he wants to be able to tell his side of the story, and he can't. And because all of this is happening during his season, he gets asked about it every other day, because he's got press conferences and conference calls and all of that stuff, and people are asking him about it every day, and it is eating away at him. D'Antonio is actually probably in a worse position in terms of what happened with his within his program, but he's not in season, so he's not having to face the media every other day.
Jerry, what happened with because I was following the Larry Eustace story out in Fort Collins with regards to his mood swings, if you will. It right. sounded like he was half crazy. I'm not even joking. Like it, you know, not to be mean or anything. He just sounded like he was allegedly abusive towards just about everybody, players, staff, athletic department. What's going on with this guy? This is not the first time we've heard about Larry's mood swings.
Well, yeah, I would say that I'd heard reports of similar issues when he'd been in other places. I would say that it's also unfortunate that it came to the point where it ends up costing him his job. But I think really more important is if that's a difficulty for him, that he just get help dealing with that so that he can learn how to manage that going forward and maybe get back into coaching again. But I think it's going to be hard for him to get back into coaching right now.
What's going to happen at Colorado State? The guy that they were going to put in there for the job, the players protested so badly that he didn't get the job either.
Well, at best, they're just going to have an interim through the rest of this season. A season that really, I mean, well, they were not competing for the league championship or anything. This isn't a team that was going to make the NCAA tournament without a run through the Mountain West tournament. So, you know, they'll try and find the right coach in the off season, but I don't think they're gonna find it. You know, right now, they're just trying to finish the year.
Jerry Palmotis, what is going on with Josh Pastner? Is he going to get out of that mess?
That's a good question. You know, now there's some new accusations about him that he has vehemently denied. And, you know, I guess we'll have to see what ends up coming of that. I'm sure it's being thoroughly investigated by Georgia Tech and others. So, yeah, I think that, you know, it's obviously not as clear cut a thing as other cases have been. But, you know, we'll just have to see. But, yeah, gosh, it's one thing after another, though, isn't it? And this is not the first off-court issue that Pastner has had to deal with this season. I mean, you know, right before the season started, as they were, I think, getting ready to go to China to play UCLA, you know, a supposed friend of his kind of ratted him out to the NCAA, and he had to deal with that, and that's still probably ongoing as well. So, yeah, it's been a rough ride for Josh this season.
What did you think of, lastly here, over the weekend, some of the games? I watched – Oklahoma State winning Morgantown. I saw Iowa State knock off Oklahoma and Ames. We saw Baylor beat Kansas, and we even saw Virginia Tech in overtime win at Charlottesville against Virginia, who was unbeaten in the ACC. Some crazy games Saturday.
It's been like that all year, though, Scott. I mean, it's just one. I mean, you know, the weekend before was St. John's beating Duke and Villanova back to back. And we've got so many losses that are just head-scratching losses by some of the better teams in college basketball this year. It seems like everybody's got one. One of those games where it's like, what the heck happened? And I think it's unusual. I mean, it's not unusual for the elite teams to get beat, especially in league play, because that kind of thing happens. But the quality of the teams that are beating them is or you know, you look at Kansas's resume. Kansas has four home losses. Now, three at Fog Allen and one in Kansas City, the home game they play in Kansas City, but that's like a decade worth of home losses
right.
for Kansas.
It's crazy.
Duke has lost to St. John's and Boston College and NC State, who's a borderline tournament team at best. It's the Florida lost to Loyola of Chicago when they were ranked in the top 10. They're not anymore, but it's been that kind of a year where the highly rated teams aren't just losing. They're losing to teams that you can't imagine that they would lose to, and then they lose two or three in a row. They don't stop the bleeding right away. It's been, you know, Villanova. Gosh, you know, I mean, really, of those four seeds, Xavier's the only one that doesn't have a real head-scratching loss. I mean, Purdue lost to Western Kentucky and the Bahamas. So, you know, and that's not a bad team, but that's probably not a tournament team. So, yeah, you know, Xavier's the only one that doesn't have one of those losses that makes you wonder what's wrong with them.
Yeah, great point. Good stuff. I'd probably lose, too, if I was laying on the beach in the Bahamas and had to, like, wake up and play a basketball game.
Purdue and Arizona played a seventh-place game in that tournament.
Can you imagine?
The committee had them bracketed 1-4 in the West region, so they could be playing a Sweet 16 game in the committee's, you know, February bracket.
All right, great stuff tonight, Jerry. We'll catch up soon. Count on it.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, Jerry Palm, CBS Sports Bracketologist.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Is there anything crazier than this story about Esteban Loaiza? Can you even believe this? I know you've heard about this, right? Like, the former pitcher, he pitched in the majors for a while. He was busted in San Diego with at least 44 pounds of heroin and cocaine, and he's facing 20 years in prison. How is that possible? He's been charged with three felonies: possession of more than 20 kilos of heroin or coke, possession or purchase of narcotics, transportation or sale of narcotics. He's in Chula Vista South Bay jail. Bail's 200 grand. He's going to court Wednesday. Second winningest pitcher for Mexico in history. Played for eight different teams, earning over $43 million. He last played in 2008 with the White Sox, the same team he played for when he was an all-star in 03 and 04. He was previously popped for DUI in 2006. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but he was dealing 500 grand in coke from a home located near a preschool, allegedly. And the San Diego County Sheriff's Department is talking about the details. He was stopped for a minor traffic violation, but a search of his car led to the discovery of a sophisticated compartment used to conceal contraband. Cops then got a warrant to search his home, and they found 20 kilos of cocaine. He was booked, and he's there now. It's just unbelievable. The one thing I don't get is, though, and this is just me, how is it that every time they pull somebody over now, it leads to a major strip search of your person and your car? It's just everyone, right? Like, Mavi, have you ever seen this? Like, when we're driving home at night, how many people are getting searched? Not just pulled over. They don't get pulled over. They got, like, 10 cop cars that swarm in, and they search these cars now. You don't get pulled over for speeding anymore. You get pulled over to be strip searched. That's what they do to you. They don't just give out tickets anymore. They strip search the car, no matter who you are.
Yeah, whenever we see late night, it's always like two or three cop cars for every one car that got pulled over.
Are you kidding me that, like, they said it was a minor traffic violation? How do you go from a minor traffic violation to having search warrants on your house? Because they found the coke. But my thing is, how do you go from a minor traffic violation, they said, and then they strip search your car? I don't get it. What could possibly lead them to do that? It just sounds sketchy, doesn't it? Like they knew about it or something?
They were probably following him for a while.
Or who knows how he was acting when he got pulled over. When you have that compartment, you got all that coke and heroin at your house. Who knows if he was, you know, twitchy, if he was on something at the time that set them off, that maybe he was acting high.
So it was a minor violation. So if they were following him for a while, then they were it was a sting and they were...
That's what I mean. I mean, this had to be... This wasn't an accident.
You think they got lucky?
I don't know. I don't think they got... I don't know. I feel like somebody with that much... moving that much product, I mean, don't you think that they have a little know-how, a little tip? Hey, look at this guy. Hey, let's keep an eye on this guy. Hey, you know what?
Carver High with a product call.
He's moving product.
He had 20 keys of Rio de Janeiro.
That stuff doesn't go unnoticed around, you know,
San Diego.
Yeah.
Chula Vista, S.A. This ain't no South Central, son. I got to tell you, Mafia, I told you I watched Coach Snoop on Netflix. Have you seen that, Carver High?
I have not.
I got to tell you, it was great.
Really?
It was great. Now, you know, that's his Snoop Football League.
Like the kids he
coaches? It's for the kids, but like he's really, honestly, in short, he has done a magnificent job of helping kids. And Baylor just beat in double overtime Texas 74-73. What a great game in Austin, especially because I had Baylor to win outright plus three. Check out a cover. Anyway, Snoop has this football league in L.A., and we've known about that for a while, right, that he does this coaching, the youth football. So they travel all over the country playing the very best teams from Florida to California, wherever. They play everywhere. Texas, you name it, they'll play. And his team's really good. And they develop these kids from 8 to 13 years old, right? And then they go play high school football or whatever. But a lot of them, at least several of them, have gone on to full rides at D1 programs. And they have they're all troubled youth. They come from broken homes, dads in jail, drugs, you name it, no parents at all, being raised by grandparents or whatever. It's the craziest thing. And then I got to tell you, the work they do with these kids and the relationships and the bonding and the friendships and the care and the mental and aspect of growing up and helping them with problems and helping them with their family's problems and death and, sisters and brothers getting killed and things of this nature and guns and violence and drugs and getting these kids to get through school and get grades and to make grades and to try to make it in life. I was blown away by the show, and I was blown away by Snoop Dogg and his caring for these kids. And it was not about Snoop Dogg, and it wasn't about fame and fortune and money and rap. It was about kids, and it was about football and about life and his impact on the community in South Central Los Angeles and what he does for these kids, like paying half of the kids' parents, rent and their mortgage and flying absentee fathers across the country to see their kids play football games. He really is unbelievable. The money he spends on their uniforms, their travel, their plane tickets, their food, their drinks, everything, hotel rooms, everything. He pays for everything. It is just unbelievable what he does. I was blown away by it. I thought it was awesome. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. You got to watch it. There's like 8 episodes. I thought it was really badass. I liked it. Snoop's a badass. Very cool.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
No one hits more winners than PharrellOnTheBench.com. It's that simple. What a deal. You get every pick, every sport, every game, every day. Let's check out this week's action. Tomorrow night in the NBA, Houston and Minnesota. That should be good. Cleveland at Oak City. The new look Cavs taking on PG-13, Russ and Melo. I don't know. Those two haven't been playing over the weekend, were they? College basketball tomorrow, Virginia and Miami down in South Beach. Oklahoma in Lubbock against Texas Tech. NHL tomorrow, Ottawa is at Pittsburgh. New Jersey's at Philly. The Flyers look good over the weekend, beating Vegas. Don't forget this Saturday, Danny Garcia fights Brandon Rios on Showtime. We give you everything. Boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today. You won't regret it. 855-212-4227 is CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. The Warriors at the half lead the Suns big 62-45. Steph Curry's got 15, 4-4. Elfrid Payton has 20 points for the Suns. The other way, the Jazz ended up getting by the Spurs 101-99. Inglis with 20 for the Jazz. Pau Gasol, 15 points, 15 boards, 6 dimes for the Spurs. Bulls over the Magic by 4. Clippers by 13 over the Nets. Sixers blow out the Knicks. Then again, who doesn't? Pelicans by 15 over the Pistons. And I'm watching this Warriors game as we speak. As for hockey, the Panthers lead the Oilers in the third with 5 minutes to go, 6-4. And the Coyotes ended up beating the Blackhawks 6-1. Unbelievable, Carver High. I mean, that is just the end of the Chicago Blackhawks as you now know them. Is that not the worst thing you've ever seen?
Yeah, they're having a really rough year, and that's pretty much all she wrote for them. I think they were done anyway before tonight, but when you get whacked by the Coyotes, it's...
end of the road.
And now they got to go play again tomorrow night in Vegas.
Yeah, good luck.
Remember we were out there, how everybody, the guy was telling us at the bar about how that was the hottest ticket was because the Blackhawks were coming to Vegas.
Right.
I mean, because there's a lot of Chicago people out in Las Vegas, but they ain't going to like the team that they see on the ice tomorrow night.
Can you believe, like, the Bulls and the Blackhawks, what's happened to them? I mean, it's a long winter.
Yeah, but look, I get it's a long winter, but they've had a lot of good ones. Okay.
So you're no tears for Chicago.
No tears for me, that's for sure. I mean, the Blackhawks, you know, won three cups in the last, 10 years, something around there. The Bulls had their days, that's for sure.
How funny is this? I'm looking at this NBA TV in the halftime of the Warriors game. They got the little guy on with the two former NBA players. He literally goes up to their belt buckles, the TV host. And he's got these two NBA players that played in the league. And they're both just monsters compared to this little dude. I don't know who he is. It just looks so funny. He's standing out there with a basketball on the court talking to him like he's ready to fill it up with him. And he goes up to their pants, their buckle. It's just, I'm like, whoa, dude. Oh, by the way, the Leafs beat the Lightning 4-3. All right, so, yeah. How about this Goose Gossage? He's half crazy, too, right?
Another clown.
So you don't like him either?
I mean, just what's your problem?
He was great, though. You can't deny
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fine, but...
When you grew up, you didn't like him?
Because you didn't get invited to spring training? Like, honestly, dude. It's your own fault. I mean, you pop off at everything whenever anybody asks you about something. I can't blame the Yankees for not wanting him around. He's got something to say about everything.
So there you go.
What hurt his relationship with the Yankees was, a few years back, he made some comments about how what he did was harder than what Mariano Rivera did. You know, and that was it. Like, you don't touch Rivera with the Yankees. You just don't go there. And ever since then, it's been bad business. Something else happened after that, too.
So he ripped Mariano Rivera for being a one-inning closer years ago. That was last year. And then the year before that, he called Joey Bats a Pharrell in disgrace to the game for his infamous bat flip, which I think was going a little bit overboard on that one. His target this spring is Brian Cashman. The Yankees did not invite him this year. And there's a lot of people talking about it, whatever. The Yankees didn't want the outspoken Gossage around in camp because he is a distraction. So Gossage was asked about it, and now it's a distraction. He did an interview. He said, I don't like Brian Cashman. That's all. It's not a secret, the Hall of Famer said. He said Cashman would prefer to have a nerd in uniform as manager. And then he questioned his leadership. If he had any onions, he'd do what he wants to do. He doesn't think he needs any baseball people around. Maybe he's right. The way the game is being run today, maybe you don't. Gossage added, the game is so different today. Like I said, real baseball guys for years made a career out of baseball. You're not a coach anymore. You have to be their best friend. The Yankees, of course, named Aaron Boone their manager. He went from playing to the broadcast booth to managing. He did play 12 years in the bigs. And he comes from a family that produced generations of big leaguers. He doesn't qualify as baseball people. Gossage claimed he is the victim here, saying his generation of players gets no respect. He's sure his comments had turned him into a disruption. You'll have to talk to Cash. I didn't get a call either way. There's no respect for older players. There's no respect for anybody who has real baseball knowledge. That's the way it is. That's what I don't agree with. Hall of Famer Reggie Jackson and Ron Guidry, both of whom are older than Gossage, will again be in camp with the Yankees as guest instructors this spring. You can't deny, though, that Reggie Jackson's had his problems with the team. He's had his fair share of problems.
Not in these later, not in these last few, no, not since he's been retired and he's been a part of the organization, he really hasn't.
But he had his problems when he was playing.
When he was,
and it was
playing,
crazy.
He did.
When he retired, he's been quiet. He just pops up whenever they need him. He's not like Gossage where he just runs his mouth all the time and draws attention to himself.
He's there all the time. I mean, all the time. It's almost painful how much he's there.
Jackson.
He's behind the batting cage all the time.
Right, but they don't want him behind the batting cage all the time talking to everybody.
They let him there every day.
So, why? So it's just basically that everyone doesn't like Goose Gossage.
Pretty much.
Listen, I'll say this for him. He is a pain in the ass. I'll give you that. I'm with you there. He has dug his own grave with his mouth. He's like Joe Namath, right? He never stops ripping the organization. So it's funny. Like, Joe Namath does the same thing in this town. Does he not? Does he not rip the Jets every chance he gets?
Constantly.
And it's just painful after a while, isn't it? But I will say this, that, I mean, that guy was the nastiest pitcher. He was just, I want him on my team, right? Like, he would throw it at your face. He was not afraid to brush you back or to bean you or whatever it took to win. He was one tough SOB. I don't care what anybody says. When he played, he was scary. And, he was the epitome of, like, when I was growing up, seriously, like, the closer. He was the man. You don't mess with that dude, right? There was no denying it. I think what happens is that everybody today forgets all. I agree with him. They forget all about these badasses. That guy was a badass. Would you have messed with Goose Gossage or Dave Parker? Who would have messed with either one of them? I mean, honestly, Dave Parker would have snapped you in two. Now he's got like, doesn't he have like epilepsy or something? He's got Parkinson's disease now. But man, when he played, was he a badass or what? You wouldn't have messed with that dude. And another one that would start a fight with you was Rose. He'd punch you right in the mouth too. But you didn't think, because you have to agree, right, that Goose Gossage was a badass when he played?
Sure.
I mean, when he played, you loved him, right? When he was on the Yankees, you didn't like him then?
He was a little bit before, I mean, a little bit before
your time.
Before me.
So
yeah.
you've never really experienced him, like, kind of as a player?
Yeah, I mean, he retired probably right when I was, you know, young, 3, 4, 5
right.
years old. I mean, I missed, you know, the heyday of Goose.
Listen, I respect him completely as a player. He was just absolutely just scintillating to watch pitch. I mean, he brought it. I mean, there was no joke about when that guy reared up and fired the fastball at you. You knew you were in for a short at bat. He didn't mess around, that dude. He'll take your head off. He was nasty. And, I mean, he really threw it at you. He was not afraid to start it up. And no one on that entire team can deny it from anyone that's ever. Can you imagine? George Steinbrenner's turning over in his grave that they're treating this guy this way. I don't even care if he's got a big mouth.
He would treat him the same way because the Yankees are always you're with us or you're against us, like you said in the story.
I don't agree with that. George Steinbrenner would have never treated Goose Gossage that way. You got to remember.
Like that all the
time. No, he wouldn't have. He's a Hall of Famer, and George Steinbrenner never treated his players that way. It's this guy that does it, and it's these clowns that run that team now that do it. I'm telling you, George Steinbrenner would have never done it. George Steinbrenner fought with all of them, Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson, everything. But he never disrespected, like, just completely diss. Who did he diss? Who did he diss that one is in the Hall of Fame that played for him? That he completely dissed. They're just dissing him. They're like, we don't want nothing to do with you. Get out of here. Get out. Go away. Don't ever come back. They're doing the same thing that, like, the Cubs are doing to Sosa. Now, I get it, but they're just they're disowning him like he doesn't even exist.
Right. George would say, George, if he talked bad about you, somebody like that, would then bring you in for a hug a couple days later and say, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just, but that doesn't happen here. These guys are, they're finished. I mean, they cut you down.
It's over.
This is a whole different regime now. The kids, Cashman.
Listen, I think Cashman does a great job.
Randy Levine and Lon Trost. You know, these guys.
Tell me you trust Randy Levine and Lon Trost in your front yard.
Those guys, you can't trust any of them.
Oh, my God. Backstabbers. That's the when you look up in the dictionary, you see a picture of both of them. Seriously, who cares? But I won't deny Cashman's great at what he does. But, you know, I'm not defending the guy. I know he's painful, right? There's no denying he's got a big mouth. But I get it. They don't want him around. There you go. But I don't necessarily disagree with some of the stuff he's saying. I really don't. That's the deal. Who else don't they invite to that old-timers game? There's other guys that they don't invite back there, too.
They have so many guys that they have to it's tough. They bring different guys in every other year. You don't get the invite every year.
Guess Goose Gossage won't be on the mailing list this year. 855-212-4CBS.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.